Hello, Specialist Kazmierski of Bravo Company. Welcome to Oshkosh. You've got a very interesting aircraft sitting here behind you. Let's talk about it. What is this thing?
Well, this is a Shadow 200 unmanned aerial vehicle system. It's the most commonly used overseas as an unmanned aerial vehicle system. It's deployed with brigades and is used every day in combat.
Pretty interesting aircraft, a rather unique engine on the back of this. What is that?
On the back, we have a Wankel rotary engine. It is two-channel, carbureted, runs off 100 low lead. We have an endurance with this engine of about 6 hours with a tank of 44 liters, which is roughly 11.6 gallons.
What does this airplane weigh, fully loaded?
When it's fully loaded with the communications relay payload on there, we're running around 386 pounds.
Wow, I figured 100, but that's almost four times that. That's a very heavy airplane. Now, how do you get this thing off the ground?
We have a launcher that will launch it off the ground using a nitrogen accumulator powering a hydraulic launch cylinder.
Okay, now, there are a lot of people out there flying quarter-scale, large aircraft, very similar in size to this aircraft. What kind of radio technology and servos are you using to fly this airplane?
The servos are, we have on the back, it's a combined tail, so we have an ELO rudder, which acts as an elevator and the rudder all together. We also have flaps and ailerons. They're all controlled mainly by the ACE box in the computer, or the ACE box computer, which is on the plane. And all our flight modes are automated as opposed to a remote control plane.
So in other words, when you're flying this airplane, you're not actually at the controls on this. It's the computer that's flying it.
We can either enter in where it's going to go, how it's going to go there, but it actually controls the servos on its own. We're not changing the flaps, ailerons, anything like that.
Okay, so in other words, the airplane flies itself autonomously, but you are guiding its flight path.
Yes.
Neat. So what kind of equipment do you have on board this aircraft? What can this thing do?
The most important equipment that we have is the camera underneath. We have a POP 300 camera, which gives us electrical, optical, and infrared camera capabilities that allows us to either see by color, or if day or night, we can also see by heat signatures. It has very good zoom. We can fly at altitudes up to 15,000 feet and still be able to stay on target.
That's interesting. So you can keep an eye on the bad guys, and they won't even know you're there.
They'll be able to hear us if we're flying a low-altitude mission, which sometimes we'll fly low altitude so they know we're there. That way they're not doing anything wrong. Most of the time, though, we're going to be up at a higher altitude where they won't be able to see or hear us.
Nice. What kind of speeds are you seeing out of this aircraft?
We have speeds anywhere from 65 to 110 knots. Generally, we're going to be going around 70 knots, though. It's our most stable flight, and it's going to give us the best picture. The camera's not going to be shaking the most, and the most important thing is, like I said before, the camera, giving a good picture to the commanders and the troops on the ground.
Now, once you get the camera image back from this airplane, what can you do with that?
Well, you can gather on all sorts of intelligence from being able to see everything from the sky. We can even talk directly to the troops on the ground, so if they're in contact, we can let them know where the enemies are. That way, before they put their head out to find out where the bullets are coming from, they already know. Using the camera, we can also call in our field artillery, we can call in fast movers and attack helicopters, all working together to make sure that we keep the troops on the ground safe.
So, in other words, you're using this airplane for several functions, most important of which is an eye in the sky.
Yes, sir.
A forward observer without the risk of it. What's this airplane worth?
This airplane right now in the current configuration is worth a little bit over $800,000.
That's an expensive airplane.
the electronics on it are what cost the most, not just the fact that it flies. You're running a very expensive camera. We still have all the IFF capabilities so you can identify friendly or foe so we don't shoot ourselves down. We have IR strobes on because obviously, we're not going to fly with nav lights on at night. Everyone will be able to see where we are. But if we fly with IR strobes, our friendly troops will be able to see where we are, and the enemies won't.
That's it. I've seen infrared images of pointing. Well, I have seen video of the IR strobes in action. They are very visible, providing you have the right equipment. But if you don't, you don't even know they're there. How do you start the engine on this?
The engine started pretty much by... It's an electric, almost drill. It plugs into the back of the propeller. There's a starter hub. You pull a trigger, and it'll kick it over. Then you'll pull it out. That way, we don't have a starter mounted on the plane. It helps with reducing the weight.
And you're also not, you don't have anybody exposed to the danger of hand propping the engine.
Yes.
That's not nice, too. Let's see, landing gear on this thing. Yeah, let me do that again. Is the landing gear on this aircraft fixed or retractable?
The landing gear in here is all fixed, and we do not have brakes due to the fact, again, of not trying to add weight. We have our nose wheel has a servo on it, which will allow 6 degrees to the right or left, so that when it's coming in on landing, it'll be able to stay centered on the runway. And we land similar to landing on an aircraft carrier using an arresting hook, which grabs onto a string.
Oh, yeah, I see the arresting hook underneath there. I didn't see that till you mentioned it. Very interesting. What is this airplane made out of?
It's mostly a carbon composite. The propeller, however, is a wooden propeller.
Let's see now. Now, I understand that you have a laser designator on this aircraft as well.
Yes, the laser designator is built into the camera. What it allows us to do is pretty much put a little IR dot on our targets so our friendly forces will be able to see what we want them to attack. So we can point out, and then they can just fire right at our little dot.
Now, when you put that laser designator on there, can you use that designator for, say, fast movers to come in and knock the target out?
Yes. We generally will communicate grid coordinates also, so they know exactly where we're at, so they're just not looking everywhere for a dot. But just to get them in the rough area, we'll give them a grid coordinate, and then they can see directly where we're at by looking at our dot.
The fast mover will be able to pick up the dot and say, okay, bye-bye, bad guys.
Yes.
That's the whole idea. Now, how do you get into a training program to learn to fly one of these things?
It's an MOS school put on by the Army, Marines, and Air Force. They all have their own different schools. But the MOS, it's a 15 Whiskey, which is an unmanned aerial vehicle systems operations. And you go down to Fort Huachuca for roughly 7 months. During that training, you have to go through the entire ground school portion of private pilot license and get your certification that you passed the laser grade with 80% or higher before you can continue on with the training.
Now, as a side note, do you fly radio control aircraft for a hobby?
I don't have any really nice ones, but I've flown little ones before.
Okay, a park flyer or something like that?
Just little $40 Walmart and hobby shop ones.
Okay, I was just curious because there, as you may have known, there are a lot of tie-ins between RC models and full-scale aircraft, and I figured you might have an interest in it. Wasn't exactly sure. Let's see here. What else? Blah, 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 blah. How many pieces does this aircraft break down into for storage and transportation?
Each wing will come off. The center wing also comes off. And then the booms and the ailer rudder separate. So you're left with a fuselage with the engine attached. And then all that will stack in so you can put two planes in the back of a Humvee.
What's the wingspan on this? About 15 feet?
It's currently 16 feet. There's also an upgrade coming up soon, and it's currently being deployed with troops that are getting sent overseas that puts it at a 20-foot wingspan. That'll extend the flight time out to 9 hours as opposed to the 6 hours it has currently.
More efficient wing. Very nice. We got 10 minutes. Oh, geez. Maintenance on this aircraft. Let's talk about that. All right. Let's see. What's it take to maintain this aircraft?
We have maintainers designated to the unit. It's a separate school that you have to go through, and that's a 5-month course, again, down at Fort Huachuca. They do all the maintenance on it. There's 12-hour, 24-hour, 50-hour inspections that have to happen. Also, after every landing and takeoff, or every time it comes back, they have to do additional inspections. Anytime that it fails one of our pre-flight checks, they have to find a way to fix that. Normally, it'll be either a quick fix or it's going to get sent back to the company and they'll just send us a new one.
What's the overall reliability on this aircraft?
This is one of the most reliable UAVs that they have out there. It's been used in combat and overseas for the last 7 years. It has over 600,000 combat hours on this airframe. And there's probably 20, 30 of them in the air right now in Iraq and Afghanistan.
Wow, at this moment. That's impressive. Let's see here. How many of these have we lost?
Actually losing it is a very low rate. It's fairly reliable. Everything has redundancy to make sure it's a really safe operation. The only time that we will lose it is if we're in a situation where keeping it in the air might save troops on the ground. We'd much rather pay the price on a unmanned plane than have to worry about losing soldiers' lives.
Oh, that's very important. It's we can replace the airplane, we can build a new one, but soldiers, that's somebody's family member there. It's all important that we keep them safe.
Yes, it is.
It's a very impressive airplane. Is there any video of these things on YouTube by any chance that you know of?
I know of a couple units when they got back from overseas and all their information was unclassified. I know some people have posted videos of it online. I'm sure you can find launch and recoveries of it online, too.
I'd like to see that. I imagine that's pretty interesting.
It launches from 0 to 70 knots by the time it hits the end of the launcher, so it gets going pretty quick.
That's got to be, what, 5, 6, 7 G shot on the takeoff launch?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Well, a carrier launch is 4, so 7's a pretty good bang. Good thing you don't have anybody in it.
They wouldn't survive it.
What kind of emergency backup systems do you have on this in case you lose something in flight?
Well, if we were to lose Link, we have a pre-programmed return home plan that we load before we fly it. What that is since it's remote controlled, if all radio communications are down, we can't get any Link, it'll follow up to 99 points back to where we want it to fly. At that point in time, it'll loiter that location until we can either regain control of it, or at that point it'll run out of fuel, and then it'll meet the criteria to pop shoot. There's a parachute on it, so when it crashes, it doesn't cost the whole cost of the airplane. The parachute will pop out of the bottom of it, flip it upside down, and glide it to the ground really gently. Once it hits the ground, it senses it hits the ground, and it'll cut the cord so the parachute won't drag it along, keeping the cost of crashing it much lower than it should be.
So in other words, if you do have a problem, the chute pops. It inverts the aircraft, saving that very expensive camera laser designator unit underneath of the airplane.
That's the point.
That is a good point. Now, what are you using for electrical power? Do you have a generator or alternator that runs off the engine?
There's an alternator right behind the engine in the fuselage, and that powers all the electrical equipment, which is a good amount.
Well, you also have to have a battery backup, too, at least for the navigation and control systems.
We have a battery backup that'll last generally about 15 minutes if we were to lose that alternator.
How reliable have those alternators been?
I have not seen one go bad in all the time I've flown it, but 15 minutes to be able to bring it back and land should be sufficient unless you're really far away.
Have you been in combat with this piece of equipment?
Our unit has just received this equipment last year, so I have not yet been deployed with it.
Are they making noises that you're going to be deployed?
They haven't made any noises yet, but I'm sure I will.
Well, you be careful out there.